Welcome to the Wednesday gathering, a live Christian Science teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting, hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We're delighted that you've joined us as a participant today in this spiritual oasis. For those with a computer, our web address is prayerfulgathering.com. It may be of interest to know the hymn we just heard in the prelude, Eternal Father, Strong to Save, is one closely associated with the Royal Navy, the Royal Canadian Navy, and the United States Navy and other marine services. And its refrain reads, O hear us when we cry to thee for those in peril on the sea. Well, I learned to sing it in the Anglican chapel at the college I attended from grades 10 to 12 in British Columbia. The tune is named Melita, that's an old word for Malta. That's the name of the island on which St. Paul was shipwrecked, and we'll be hearing about that in the Bible readings today. The tune was composed by an Anglican clergyman, John B. Dykes, in 1861, and is used in our own hymnal for Violet Hayes' inspiring words, Arise, ye people, take your stand. That's hymn number 12. Now, let's begin this Wednesday gathering with singing hymn number 431 from the Christian Science Hymnal Supplement. These words were penned by another English clergyman, John Newton, who wrote it as part of a spiritual conversion following a particularly frightening storm at sea.
And we'll have Lisa Redfern lead us with this hymn.
Welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is Our Desired Haven, Reflections on the Titanic Centenary. The remaining hymns are numbers 245 and 192. Well, as most of you probably know, this past Saturday and Sunday marked the 100th anniversary of what may be the most analyzed marine disaster in history, namely the sinking of the Titanic. Our national television network here, the CBC, had practically non-stop coverage of the centenary for the whole weekend, especially from Halifax, a port on the Nova Scotia coast which served as an operations center in the aftermath of the events of 100 years ago. Fishing boats were sent out from Halifax to recover bodies, and many of the victims are buried in the city. And it's interesting to note that the TV coverage focused not only on the tragedy, but also on the moral and spiritual qualities that this hour of need brought out in people, both those rescued and the rescuers themselves, many of whom reached out to a divine source for comfort and shelter. I might also mention that the second officer aboard the Titanic, Charles Herbert Lightoller, was a Christian Scientist, and his testimony of salvation from the Titanic tragedy was published in the October 1912 Christian Science Journal. The whole testimony is rather interesting. It's reproduced online in a footnote to the Wikipedia article on Charles Lightoller, and you'll find a link to this on the site detailing today's meeting. I'm going to be reading from the Authorized or King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from Science and Health, the Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, as well as a couple of her other writings. So we shall start with the Bible. Proverbs. There be three things which are too wonderful for me, which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea. Psalms. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands. Genesis. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be an haven for ships. Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. But Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. Then were the men exceedingly afraid. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. So they took up Jonah, and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, and struck God out of the fish's belly, and said, Thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee and to thine holy temple. I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. The Gospel of St. John. Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And when even was now come, his disciples went down to the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship. They were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship. And immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Acts of the Apostles. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coasts of Asia. And when we'd launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 66 souls. And when they'd eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship, and so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Psalms. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he commandeth and raiseth a stormy wind which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Now I shall read from the writings of Mary Baker Eddy, beginning with a brief excerpt from her message to the Mother Church for the year 1902. Christ walketh over the wave, on the ocean of events, mounting the billow or going on down into the deep. The voice of him who stilled the tempest saith, It is I, be not afraid. Thus he bringeth us into the desired haven, the kingdom of spirit. And now from Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures. If you venture upon the quiet surface of error and are in sympathy with error, what is there to disturb the waters? What is there to strip off error's disguise? If you launch your bark upon the ever-agitated but healthful waters of truth, you will encounter storms. When the ocean is stirred by a storm, then the clouds lower, the wind shrieks through the tightened shrouds, and the waves lift themselves into mountains. We ask the helmsman, do you know your course? Can you steer safely amid the storm? He answers bravely, but even the dauntless seaman is not sure of his safety. Nautical science is not equal to the science of mind. Yet, acting up to his highest understanding, firm at the post of duty, the mariner works on and awaits the issue. Accidents are unknown to God or immortal mind, and we must leave the mortal basis of belief and unite with the one mind in order to change the notion of chance to the proper sense of God's unerring direction and thus bring out harmony. Under divine providence, there can be no accidents, since there is no room for imperfection in perfection. Thus should we deport ourselves on the seething ocean of sorrow. Hoping and working, one should stick to the wreck until an irresistible propulsion precipitates his doom, or sunshine gladdens the troubled sea. The sea is ignorant of the gems within its caverns, of the corals, of its sharp reefs, of the tall ships that float on its bosom, or of the bodies which lie buried in its sands. Yet these are all there. Adhesion, cohesion, and attraction are properties of mind. They belong to divine principle and support the equipoise of that thought force which launched the earth in its orbit and said to the proud wave, thus far and no farther. The psalmist saith, the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Spiritual sense is the discernment of spiritual good. Jesus walked on the waves, fed the multitude, healed the sick and raised the dead in direct opposition to material laws. His acts were the demonstration of science, overcoming the false claims of material sense or law. The miracle introduces no disorder, but unfolds the primal order, establishing the science of God's unchangeable law. How much more should we seek to apprehend the spiritual ideas of God than to dwell on the objects of sense? Seasons will come and go with changes of time and tide, cold and heat, latitude and longitude. The mariner will have dominion over the atmosphere and the great deep, over the fish of the sea and the fowls of the air. The astronomer will no longer look up to the stars. He will look out from them upon the universe. The calm, strong currents of true spirituality, the manifestations of which are health, purity, and self-immolation, must deepen human experience until the beliefs of material existence are seen to be a bald imposition, and sin, disease, and death give everlasting place to the scientific demonstration of divine spirit and to God's spiritual, perfect man. And now I'm going to read a couple of excerpts from testimonies in the last chapter of Science and Health called Fruitage. These are testimonies that Mary Baker Eddy selected for inclusion. The first of these is called A Restless Sense of Existence Destroyed. Just a couple of excerpts. Like many others, I had been seemingly lost in the sea of error without a compass, yet earnestly and honestly seeking a haven. Now, after 9 years of Christian Science experience under severe tests, it can be truthfully said that it has not failed me in any hour of need. And one more testimony entitled Health and Peace Attained. Again, just a few excerpts. For 15 years, I was a great sufferer physically and mentally. My life was one ceaseless torture. During all this time, however, I was an earnest seeker after truth. After investigation, I procured a copy of Science and Health, promising I would read it carefully. I began reading the book on Tuesday and finished on Friday of the same week. I was still in the dark. I laid the book down, involuntarily closed my eyes, and silently prayed to God. I remained in that attitude a few moments when I felt like the mariner who had been tossed for days upon a boisterous sea, the clouds bending low, the billows rolling high, all nature wrapped in darkness. In his despair, he kneels and commits his soul to God, when he suddenly beholds the North Star breaking through the clouds, enabling him to guide his ship to the shores of safety. Many things were made plain to me. There are now no traces whatever of my former complaint, and I feel like a new being. And to conclude, a very brief passage from Miscellaneous Writings by Mary Baker Eddy. Into his haven of soul, there enters no element of earth to cast out angels, to silence the right intuition which guides you safely home. That is the end of the healing message for today.